Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Crick Index podcast. I'm Amit Kohli, and joining me to discuss England's innings defeat in the fourth test against India are Dan Kennett and Dan Rhodes. DK, before the tour started, we knew it was going to be difficult for England. You know, We thought they're going to win every toss. But do you feel that this Mumbai test has basically brought, you know, exactly what we thought was going to happen? They're going to struggle to get top order runs. They're going to struggle with the spin department. And pretty much all the frailties kind of came together in the perfect storm.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good summary, to be honest. I think for England to win a series in India is very rare anyway. It's like a once every 20 years thing anyway. And for this team with its shortfall, because we've lost a lot of games in the last. I think we've lost in the last 3 years since the start of 2013. We've lost as many games as we've won against all opponents. So if you know, and we all know the deficiency with at least two members of the top five.
Five out of seven as well. We've lost the last five out of seven.
Yeah, it was always going to be England would have to play out their skins. You know, that's why I said on the preview podcast that we lost due to the technical problems. I mean, if Cook scored 1,000 runs in the series, we might just have a chance of getting a positive result. But, you know, because that was it. You were thinking, well, what else is there? I mean, because the seamers will just, you know, they'll just do a job, but they won't win matches. And then the spinners, it was just like, you know, we all saw what happened last winter. So, yeah, it's just the thing. I think the most frustrating thing is, I mean, it's just like the UAE last year. And Bayliss talked about this after the match. He said that they just can't string it together enough. They can't for five. They can compete for 3 days out of the five, but they just can't string a level of consistent performance and across all 5 days to get it. And that was in the UAE, it's in Bangladesh, and it's in India. And we've said it in the one bad session thing, haven't we? You know, he loses matches, and I think it's basically another way of saying the same thing. But he said they just need to. They're competing well. They stick in it. They keep working. Lots of effort, but they just can't. At the end, India will always pull, and Pakistan last winter just will always pull away.
Indeed, Rhodesy, it looked quite good, didn't it? England when the toss went into bat, 230 for two. Everybody's predicting, mammoth 550, whatever is going to come, and then it all just comes apart at the seams.
Yeah, I didn't hear anyone predict that we were going to get 550. I think. If one of your top four scores 100 and two of the other three score 50s, you've got to be happy with that. There were no top order run issues in this game. It wasn't the top order. We competed for 3 days. For 3 days, it was a close test match. India were 300 for six at the start of the last session on the third day. So it wasn't a case of, you know, you needed more top order. I think we got it runs, possibly maybe 50 to 75. Not enough, but I think India dropped a couple of catches. Joss Butler was lucky to get to five, never mind 76. He struggled so badly. Stokes as well at the start of his innings, and he still managed to face nearly 100 balls. You know, so it wasn't a walk in the park to score runs, and to get 400 was decent. To compete for 3 days was good. To fall apart so badly on the last session of the third day and then continue it and get even worse on the first and second sessions of the fourth day is where you lose this test match. and we competed and just weren't good enough at the end.
Yeah, DK, it seems that both teams had ample opportunity to really stamp their authority on the game. And it was just that as soon as one team had the foot on the throat, there'd be a get-out clause. You know, Jake Ball scores 31 runs, and then that partnership seems great. 400 runs almost seem like 500. Whereas previous to that, they were doing so well with 230 for 2 and everything. And then the Indians looked really, really comfortable. And then they go and give it away 300 for 6. You're thinking, one minute, we're supposed to get a lead here. And then the Indians looked as though, you know, England might just get the lead. And then there was that fourth day where, then Kohli came into his own, and then Jayant, and, to think there used to be a time when India had a tail. I mean, this is, a Jayant looks a fantastic batsman at number 9. We were talking about Ansari earlier in the series looking good, at that kind of number. But it's the same sort of thing, wasn't it? That was phenomenal batting. And to take that, everybody's thinking maybe the 50-run lead gets to 100, but 230, whatever it was in the end. Fantastic.
Yeah, he looks as good a find to test cricket as Mehdi Hasan did for Bangladesh. They look to be two rising stars for the future. The match followed exactly the same pattern as Mahali, Amit. It was the Indian tail, but then the thing is, England got into a good position, but then it was literally for 3 sessions in Mahali and 3 sessions in Mumbai across 2 days, and they just literally barely took a wicket for 3 days against the tail enders. And obviously Kohli was batting with their Jayant here, but it was remarkably similar, the pattern of the two matches. It's one of those things. It's like, I mean, the spinners, Rashid has had a pretty good series, to be honest, much better, I think, than anybody could possibly predict it. But at the end of the day, he's now an average test spinner in the global game. But, last time we were here, we had the 2 best spinners in the series. We outbowled Ashwin and all the other Indian spinners who played, Swan and Panesar. That's what you need to compete against India in their own backyard. I mean, okay, you can have an average bowler, but at some point he still gives up 4 balls, and then the seamers, there's measures of control, but they don't really take wickets. And then and England's second and third spinners just, I don't know. The game seems to get away from England quite quickly when they have a bad start. It only seems to be a few overs. They get hit for a few runs. Scoreboard starts ticking over, and then that's just it. And then it's just remarkable the parallels we've seen throughout the 3 matches which India have won.
Yeah, Rosie, we say that Rashid's had a good series and so on, but are we really saying that for them they've had a good series? For Rashid's development, it's been a good series, but in terms of the spinners that are there in the series, he's nowhere near. There's a golfing class between the spinning duo of England and the trio of India.
Like you say, he has got better stats than he has got better stats than Jadeja.
It's the economy though, isn't it?
It's up there with Ashwin. He's also up there in terms of strike rate. They both take a wicket every. Ashwin's every 52 balls. Rashid's every 55. That's incredibly impressive for your frontline spinner. Now, your economy rates are fair enough, but Rashid's only 3.49 and Ashwin's 2.8. Now, if you just take away that session in the fourth test, then his economy rate comes down because he was going at 4-5 and over. he had one terrible session. I think he's bowled just as well as, for his level of experience, as Ashwin. I don't think the frontline spinner has been the issue in this series.
Is it the way the batters play then, Rhodes? Because the Indians just look so... I mean, they are obviously
It's your second and third spinners, and the fact that you've got Kohli averaging 112. Kohli's made possibly a contribution in... Is it virtually every single innings?
Pretty much.
Runs in the first innings in the first test, then saved it in the second test, runs in the second test, second innings of the first test, then runs in the second test, wins the third test, and has virtually won this game.
He has indeed. He's been match winning. Yeah. My thinking with Jadeja has always been that if you take Ashwin out of the attack, then Jadeja just becomes average. But the combination of them both is quite amazing. Almost like in English conditions, the seam bowling, the combination of Anderson Broad is relentless. You know, there's just no give up.
Yeah, exactly.
It just seems like when the England were batting, in some periods of play when the Indians are a bit on top, it's just relentless bowling from Ashwin and Jadeja. It's ooing and aahing, and you're looking at it thinking this is poetry from my point of view.
The difference is Yadav's coming in as the third choice spinner and taking at the same strike rate as Rashid. He's taking a wicket every 55 balls at 29. You know, but he's bowled 100 overs. That's his third spinner coming in. We didn't even have one in this test. And then the other test, one of them who was ill, another time he went for like 4.5 an over, and Gareth Batty were terrible. And then we've got Moeen's figures are ridiculously bad.
The selection's quite an issue on this one, isn't it? Everybody's been very critical.
A little bit surprised with Moeen last time, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's just been the odd wicket-taking delivery, definitely 2-4 balls and over. No control whatsoever.
Just a final word on the spinners, right? Ashwin, 27 wickets at 24. With an economy of 2.7. Rashid's got 22 wickets at 32 at 3.5 and over. Jadeja's got 16 wickets at 32 at 2.4 and over. So Rashid is pretty respectable. That's fairly close to the level of performance you would have got for Graham Swan. You know, maybe Swan would have been a couple of runs cheaper on the wickets. But, you know, that's pretty good, to be honest.
Just to add one thing in there, though, Dan. In the first test, which was a very, very good batting-friendly wicket, England scoring heavily in the first innings. So a lot of Ashwin's figures surely are quite dented from that particular first innings.
I don't think they're dented at all, because he's taken 27 wickets at 24, which is outstanding. It was like up there with the best spin. Yeah. Any spinner who takes his wickets
less
than
25, it's
unbelievable.
I was just trying to say, if you take the first test or the first innings of the first test out of the way, then it's even better, isn't it?
If you take Rashid's... second,
yeah, but you don't do that. You can't do that
in the fourth test. Then he's got better figures than Ashwin. You can't do that. It's a whole series. That's
okay.
The point,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Indeed, we have. Are we going to be extra critical of the selection? Because pre-match, I've got to say, I thought England were doing the right thing. Four seamers.
We should play four seamers at Mahali. I was actively saying, come on, let's pick four seamers at Mahali.
I agree with that.
I was more critical of the way Cook used the seamers. So I've got no problems with four spinners, four seamers, two spinners. I thought the way Cook used them wasn't very good. I was very puzzled. Anderson's not getting the new ball. So Wokes is going a day and a half without getting a ball and things like this. I think the way they used the resources was a bit ill-conceived. DK, any thoughts on the selection side of things? Or is it all hindsight?
I listened to Cook and Bayliss after the match, and they both said the same thing about the seamers. They said the word control. They were asked what the best balance of the team is to try and win matches in India. And Cook said he'd prefer 3-3, but they said the seamers give more control. And I think that's a statement of fact. I think they do give more control. But I agree with you. Once the selection was made, there was no question that the seamers were massively underbowled, and by the fourth day we'd been in the field for 14 hours and Moeen and Rashid were just exhausted. They were literally bowled 55 overs each. It's incredible. I mean, they'll be better for it in the long run, Mike, but you know, they were seriously overbowled, and the seamers, I mean, I couldn't believe that Stokes only bowled 8 overs and we were in the field for 14 hours. That's unbelievable. I mean, there was no reverse swing, obviously. That was a factor in this game compared to the others. There was virtually, I don't think there was even a hint of reverse the whole match. But, it was the wrong team. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think England's sixth batter would be good enough, or fifth batter. I don't think the third spinner's good enough. And then the fourth seamer's ineffective. So I don't think it really matters what the 11th player looks like. But, you know, I don't think it changes the match result in any way, to be honest.
So are we saying then without a Swan or a Panesar-esque
yes,
player, it's just not possible to win a test, you know, because they came close in the first test, you could argue, but, you know, unless the other team, they haven't got the makeup for it.
Pretty sure when we won there in 1986, it was John Embry and Phil Edmonds, wasn't it, in tandem as well. So they were pretty decent spinners as well by England standards.
Indeed. Just coming on to Cook a bit more, Rhodes, because I know during the game, in our messages and things, you were quite critical of Cook. I know he has, for his standards, it's been quite bad, isn't it, with the bat. And he's got one century, but apart from that, and he dropped a catch or two. Do you want to elaborate on Cook's captaincy?
You just pretty much outlined my criticism there. I guess it's more his performance, because it's difficult to know who to blame when it's a lot of my criticisms of the setup have been the selections. Have been the selections in Bangladesh. Have been the selections in this series. I think I can pick out one glaring error in each Test match, and that's being kind. But in terms of Cook's captaincy, are we going to go the full whole hog and discuss it now? Because there's fours and against. I think it's fair to weigh up both. Against, does he really want it? There's been rumours within some English journalists and on some cricket podcasts for about 10 to 12 months. There's been a poor set of three series in terms of results. England had a chance to hold all the trophies against Pakistan, and the last test was just a cock-up. So there's the results that there's losing the first ever test to Bangladesh. Some journalists were blaming him for his scoring rate in the second innings of the first test, when he did score 100, but maybe didn't declare soon enough, didn't leave a tasty enough, juicy enough target. I'm not one of those. I think that's a little bit hindsight bias, because at the time I thought it was a great knock. Defensive fields, it's hard to know when you're criticising a captain for putting defensive fields when you've got two bowlers who are likely to bowl a four ball and over. It's really going to be really difficult to know how to keep a feel to that.
You've got Kohli there with defensive fields, and he's got Ashwin and Jadeja at his disposal.
Well, the beauty about having a spinner like Swan or Panesar was they bowled perfect lines on a spot, so you could set a field. Whereas as Rashid might bowl fantastic wicket-taking deliveries, but I don't quite think he's mastered the art that Ashwin's got in terms of control, or Swan or Panesar had. So, and then on the far side is the fact that he doesn't play any other forms of cricket. He could captain the side for the next 3 or 4 years. Is he at a conflict with Bayliss, or is he giving different messages to what Bayliss is giving? Is Bayliss saying, we want to be attacking? Is Cook saying, we don't, we should be more obdurate about it? He should be facing balls. Is there a conflict there? It's hard to know. There's been mixed messages coming out. The biggest thing is it's Cook's decision. He's earned that. He's been one of the best England captains that there's ever been. I think he's won more tests as captain, so there's no issues. I just think that he needs some criticism. He hasn't had much recently, and I think this is the time when he should be getting some. Social Bayliss. Social
Whitaker. let's just bring it to DK, because DK, you've probably still got a poster of Cook on your wall, even now. hidden behind some picture.
Replaced by Hamid now.
Or on the door of your safe. Oh, yeah, replaced by... is it unfair criticism? Because at the end of the day, you could give the captaincy to anybody. You're going to be in a hole, because they just haven't got the personnel, have they, really, to mount a challenge.
I don't know. I mean, okay, so... he's one of the best players we've ever had. He's one of the best openers in the history of Test cricket in any nation. Statistically, he is the best. He's won in India before, and he was pretty much man of the series. And he's had a slightly below average series with the bat. In terms of his record in Asia, it's quite a bit below what we might have been expecting. He's probably 20 runs short, to be honest, of his previous record in Asia. So you could say, yeah, he's underperformed versus his record in Asia. But, you know, shit happens. You know, I mean, people have bad series and they have good series. You know, I think the only thing is if you've set the bar high, you've gone in thinking, what are we going to have to do to try and get him out of this series with a positive result? You know, Cook needs to go massive in the runs, because, you know, he needed him and Root to go massive, and he hasn't done it. So you could be disappointed that he didn't repeat. Disappointed he didn't repeat 2012. But I mean, how likely was that ever going to happen? You know what I mean? In terms of his captaincy, I don't think anything's changed at all. I think the issue is personnel. I don't think he's got as good a team to pick from as he's had in previous years. And I think if he had a KP in the middle order, and he had a James Swan or a Panasonic, not even both, just one of them.
Wasn't that his choice, part of his choice, though, for KP, him and Strauss?
No, it was Paul Downton, remember, that was, mate. You know, that was, you know, Paul Downton. Actually, James Whittaker bears a lot of brunt in that, but it was Downton, wasn't it?
So you don't think Cook's had any influence on KP?
No, I think the decision was, it's either Cook or KP. At the time, the political decision was, Downton said it was Cook, and then there was a time when he made the 300 and said, do you want him back in the team? And I think he then at that point, I reckon Cook said, no, stay with it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. But at the time, after KP gate, the political decision for the ECB was Cook or KP. It was a binary decision. And, you know, fair enough, because Cook was actually a younger player, you know, at that point, as well as not being an arsehole, you know, so...
That's a great summing up. It's a great summing up, but it's just such a shame it had to come to that, because I tell you what, with KP, it might have been a different game.
Yeah, I think he's been slightly disappointing with that overall. I mean, in all of 2016 against South Africa and Sri Lanka and Pakistan, Bangladesh and India, he's averaged 44 in 16 Test matches. I mean, it's not that much below his career normal.
His career's average is what, 48 or something?
46 to 47, it varies between.
It's just a dismissal. I mean, in the first innings, my only criticism would be the stumping, and he was going to get a strike rate of 76. So I'm thinking, there's no need for it. You're doing really well.
It was just what we've always said. You know, he just picks three shots, two, sometimes even two shots, and he just sticks to them all day. The thing is, I think for the first time in a long time, I think there's a bowler got in his head, and I think Jadeja's really got in his head because remember, it's not just the dismissals. I think it's four times now or five times, but also the number of DRSs he's had against Jadeja is astronomical. You know, one innings. Do you remember?
Great spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he had three fractional reprieves against him as well, and you know I think we've seen it before with Cook. He's got in trouble against players like Chiminda Vass. He's planted the front leg, and he's been caught with LBW a lot. And he's always come back, and he's always adjusted, and he's always reacted. But I think if he had time to go away and think about how do I play Jadeja on these kind of tracks, what do I need to do? Because he is quite flat and quite skiddy and quite quick, isn't he, for a spinner? And he does get the odd one. So I think he's got a problem, and you know when players have problems they do stupid things, don't they?
But as batsmen in a number of series that we can think back to, you know KP having problems with left arm spin, and et cetera, and it goes on. Great players get through the series. I don't know if I was more surprised with him coming down the pitch. I mean, if it had connected and hit a six, I think I'd have just been as surprised as that because it's just so out of character. But there you go. Very quickly, do you think he's going to fall on his sword and
I think he's
going to go?
I think he's got to look at himself in the mirror and say, I'm not playing Test cricket until July, right? That's when we play the next series after this. Yep. So he's got 6 months off, effectively. He can just play for Essex. He can sit on the farm he's got down there in whatever it is, just outside London. And he can play for Essex, spend some time with the family. And then he can say, do I want to play against West Indies? And is it South Africa after that, I think?
Yeah.
Western East Africa. And then it's Australia, isn't it? And he can look himself and say, do I still want to do this? And if the answer is yes, I don't think he should make this decision now after six back-to-back test matches. I think we should get the fifth test out of the way, and then we should have a period of reflection at home, and then he should decide what to do. And if he wants to stay on, I've absolutely no desire to give the job to Joe Root at this point.
Not me. Agree with all that. I think just on Cook's batting, the most disappointing thing has been that we can all remember Cook's performances in Asia against all types of spin and all types of wickets and how he commits to either getting forward or getting back. And if you look at Kohli, that was his genius in this series because unlike Pujara, unlike Murali Vijay, Rahane, they like to use the feet against spinners and do it well enough. Do it a lot better than some of the English players have, but Kohli doesn't do that. They showed a map on Sky where he was taking the balls, and they were all circulated in two big blocks, either completely forward and committed, massive gap, completely backwards and committed, and he just seems to be able to read the length so quickly that it doesn't matter how much it turns. It doesn't matter if the seam was irrelevant in this game. But it doesn't, you know, Rashid could bowl a great ball. And I think he made one mistake out of 235. And that was around 300 for six for India when Rashid dropped him on the cotton ball. So one mistake in 340 balls tells you how good he was reading the spin, how good he is picking up the length. And then obviously he's got all the shots, scored all the way around the ground. If you look at his wagon wheel, it's literally double figures in every single segment.
Yeah. I mean, the missed chances, very briefly, the missed chances are more stark in this series from an English point of view. I expect wholeheartedly the Indians will drop the odd catch but the English are known for their fielding. And the only one that I can think of is the Joe Root. The Joe Root drop against Giants was the one that I felt was a bit regulation, which is out of character. The others,
went down after that,
you can't class Jimmy Anderson trying to boot it up as a chance.
Best though, Mr. Standard Stumping should be taking that.
Every single guy went on for it to a century as well. You don't often see that. You know, at least one of them you'd think wouldn't go on. But the way they pushed on was really adding the salt in.
I don't think Bairstow is good enough to keep in the subcontinent. I've got it off my chest. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good pro, but you know, he's not a patch on Matt Pryor with the gloves, for example. You know, Matt Pryor standing up was outstanding, and he would almost get bonus wickets the way he would sometimes. You know, the way he would keep to stand up to the spinners, he was outstanding. But Bairstow was. I don't even think he's average standing up, to be honest.
Going forward, I was going to ask your opinion on this as well, nicely, that you've come into the wicket-keeping. The school of thought is, let's just give the gloves to Joss Butler, who's done really well, merited his place at number seven or whatever, just for the sake that Bairstow will score more runs at five anyway.
Bairstow has
without
to
the gloves. Or bat at four, then. Are you going to put him in the top order? So if he bats at four, give the gloves to Butler, because what's the point of burgeoning Bairstow? Because he'll probably score more runs without having the responsibility of the gloves.
I mean,
is that fair?
Rhodesy, I don't know about you, but I thought the second innings, you look at the second innings, right? Number four was a guy who just bowled 55 overs. And number five was a guy who was in the field for 14 hours, keeping wicket. And then we had a specialist batsman at number eight. I don't know, what the hell was all that about? What was that about?
Yeah, Moeen looked knackered as well, didn't he, when he came into bat? It's how to balance a team of all-rounders and try to get... It's when you've got an all-rounder who's bowling 55 overs or 53 overs like Moeen did after batting. You know, he's got 50 in the first innings as well after staying in there for quite a while. 100 plus balls. So it's just a non... It's just a...
Why are they not just taking the gloves off him then? Just
be fluid. Be fluid. Realise the situation, which is something I don't think Cook did as a captain on that fourth morning when he was bowling them and the fourth day afternoon. It's they were just absolutely shattered. So there's no way he can... Especially when you lose early wickets. He literally had, 25 minutes, half an hour break?
Ugh. Yeah.
It's just you're just mentally... Imagine trying to bowl to Kohli when you're not a world-class spinner.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you one other question about Kohli and Ashwin.
14 hours of torture, man.
Beforehand, we were thinking, Kohli and Ashwin, don't do it against England. Obviously now, over a few test matches, have shown that they've done it against England, fair enough, in home conditions. But do you feel, you know, we've been watching test cricket for a long time, do you feel that this Indian team actually... genuinely, it's not lip service anymore. It's they actually have an onus on test cricket and they want to take test cricket forward in their country. And finally, they might just develop a team with the seamers as well, because Shami and Yadav look quite useful. They could actually have a team that could compete abroad, finally. Am I just being a bit too positive?
Yes. They could do... I think they'd have a chance. It'd certainly be a... I mean, I don't think... You know, Australia aren't that strong compared to Australia at this point. South Africa won't be interesting. And England's a different kettle of fish with the seamen.
Compete, though. That's what we're saying. Because normally they're completely going the shells, don't they? Two sweaters on in June. Nobody's interested...
The transformation in, the criticism of Kohli and Ashwin against England was rightly deserved, because I was just looking at the last time we were here, Kohli got 188 runs at 31, and Ashwin got 14 wickets at 53 last in 2012. And you know, think of how far both players have come since then. And you know, I think the making of Kohli was the Australia tour, wasn't it? Didn't he get he got hit in the face by Mitchell Johnson, or the head, or the grill, or something? When he came in, and then he got, I remember that, and then I'm pretty sure he got a century.
He got a century in each innings, I think, in Adelaide.
But it was against Johnson, wasn't it? Mitchell Johnson.
It was that attack, yes, that same attack with Mitchell Johnson, Harris, etc. He scored heavily in four centuries, I think it was, in four test matches.
After the game, said that someone asked him whether that 235 was his best ever innings, and Kohli said no, it was Adelaide second innings. He said that's when
one week got hit.
He said that's when I've turned it around. Since then, I've been amazing.
But Kohli, just to finish off on the whole thing, I mean, forget all the records that are falling and stuff, but he's since the captaincy, he's had a real, you know, word with himself to say, how are we going to consistently score big daddy hundreds? Whereas in his early stage of his career, you'd get to 100 and he'd be quite satisfied, got to 100. Very much a playboy type of mentality. Whereas now, because he's the captain, he feels that he has that responsibility, and you know he takes it forward. There's that story that they've been saying going on about how he was on 160 not out, and he was in the gym that same evening, and Ganguly's mate was asking him about it. He was in the gym as well, and Ganguly's one that tells a story about how this is going. And he goes, "Well, I've been talking to X, Y, and Z cricketers, and they're saying that the fitness is where, you know, because they're saying that he's on 200 and he still doesn't look out of breath or anything. You know, the guy's got the fitness, and the difference with that is that the Indians, historically speaking, aren't known for stuff like this.
No.
That's where it's kind of gone. They're now in the same category as other players.
In that respect.
You've got to be an athlete, haven't you? You've got to be an athlete.
I mean, look at India's record. What is it? Four defeats in something like 20 tests. They've won five series on the bounce. That's
it's all at home, though, isn't it?
But that's the point. West Indies. We're just going to come to then. There isn't one series there against some
West
green
Indies away.
There isn't any series there on some green teamers. If this is a perfect platform now for this Indian side to go on and be the best Indian side ever, one of the best Test sides ever. It's there. The platform's there, but they've got it. If they can go and do it in England and New Zealand and South Africa again, and then they can beat Australia in Australia. Well, they'll be one of the greatest Indians. They will be by far the best Indian side ever.
The advantage there is...
Vijay is a genuine test player. He's a very good test player. He was the only player to emerge in the last tour of India Tour of England with any credit whatsoever. He was very good in that series. And he was outstanding in this match as well.
I mean, there's three holes in your batting order.
Well, the 2-3-4 is it can be up there with anybody in the world. Pujara is an outstanding player. I'd be interested to see Pujara in at Newlands and Perth. That would be interesting, to be honest. I do think Pujara is a little bit suspect, you know, against the short ball, but we'll have to see.
The other advantage the Indians have is that it's not like anybody's breaking down any doors in world cricket. The Australians have got quite a weak team. The English have got their problems. You know, it's not like bygone eras where there was the amazing Australian team or the amazing England team. This is everybody's quite average, generally speaking. People are struggling to win the series at home.
In the market for a dominant Test side, you know, there is a gap in the market. Definitely. I mean, I do like Shami. Yadav's not too bad.
Genuine pace.
Shami looks
fantastic in England.
Kumar's their answer to Jimmy Anderson, like a poor man's Jimmy Anderson at Muniz, but he can really swing it, but he doesn't have the pace. But you don't necessarily need the pace in England as well.
And I have to say, despite the poor series, I really like Pani as a test player. So I think you've got a 2-3-4-5 there, which is very good.
Ashwin is now batting well, if you like.
My point is that they're very good, but none of them yet, apart from maybe Vijay and Pujara, maybe once, have done it in those conditions that we were just speaking about, like New Zealand and England and South Africa. That's the holes.
Yeah. And Giants, you probably wouldn't be able to play Giant and Jadeja and anywhere else apart from subcontinent, so, which is a shame.
It is a shame, but Giant looks such a good, accomplished player with the bat that it's a shame that he's a spinning all-rounder. And then, you know, but but you know, Jadeja got injured or something. He's a very, very capable player. And you know, thank God that Mishra bowled so many pies that he got dropped.
Yeah,
That he got pit. He would never even got a sniff otherwise. I was really pleased with that.
I have to say though, the first innings of this match, I thought Ashwin was unbelievable. I think that's the best I've ever seen him bowl. Yeah. He was unbelievable.
He was.
He was so good. And even the ball today, the one that got thingy out, Bairstow. That was a tremendous delivery today as well.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can bowl. I'm still in doubts about whether there's such a thing as a legitimate action carom ball, you know, because every bowler who's ever tried to bowl one has been done for dodgy action, haven't they?
Ashwin seems to have found it. It looked good to me. Yeah.
I don't think anybody'd dare call Ashwin anyway, would they?
Just the way he had Bairstow and Stokes and Butler in. There was a period for about 2 hours where they could hardly get a bat and ball.
Yeah, but he
on his balls, they were scoring up for other people.
And I thought the rest of the Indian attack in the first innings was quite mediocre, to be honest. But Ashwin was a giant. And he was a titan in that first innings. Absolutely outstanding performance. As good as Kohli was, I can't believe Ashwin didn't get man of the match, to be honest.
I suppose at 300 for six, they're thinking India are on the knees, Kohli gets caught, and then it's all over. But I see what you're saying. Yeah, this Ashwin, to be honest, when India win a test match, Ashwin tends to have a shout for man of the match, whatever happens. And he's on, what, 26 fifers now or something? I mean, the record
is really good as well, isn't it? He's catching Murali, isn't he?
He's one behind Cumbler for 10 fifers. He's the quickest in the last 70 years to get 7 10 fifers in terms of number of tests. Sydney Barnes. Sydney Barnes.
And these
Murali
No, he's not even in that. He's not even in there. It was three bowlers pre-war, two bowlers pre-war, and then Ashwin on 47 tests. That's to get to 7 10 fifers. His five for record is unbelievable. He's developing into one of the best of all time. In terms of his stats, we need to see. If he could turn into a like Dan always mentions about Spinner, in that first innings, in unfavourable conditions, to bowl, control, and get 2 for 40 off 20 overs. If he could do that, and then obviously come into it in the second innings, it could be one of the best, honestly. One of the best.
When are they touring England next? Anybody have anything on that?
I'm sure it's the year after. I'm sure it's 2018.
That is going to be amazing to see how these guys fare, Ashwin especially, in English conditions. I reckon he'll do quite well with the bat as well, because I think he's got a sound technique. Whereas, you know, Jadeja can get all the runs he wants, but you know he's got a dodgy technique. But Yadav and Ashwin have got really sound techniques. I think they really missed the bowling of Shami. I think the seam attack just was very mediocre.
I don't think Dennis Lilly could have taken a wicket on there.
No, but you know what I mean? They didn't have the threat. That you could tell the team missed having Shami's pace. And he's a very intelligent bowler. But I know what you're saying. They got away with it because the surface didn't need any seam anyway.
I think they bowled about 12% of the overs in England's first innings. Indian seamers.
How did that stat before miss off Murali? He's got 22 tenfers in Test cricket. 22.
You need to have a go at quick info then, because I'll check that then. He must do. Unless he had a really bad start to his career and didn't get
all right. Tenfers. Yeah, 22 tenfers in 133 tests.
His career innings list. I'll have it for the stats guru users among us. Got to be a few listening to this.
Brings us nicely to the fifth. What do we do in the fifth test then? Do England just pick...
try not to lose.
I'm going to watch the news in the morning instead.
I couldn't believe any. Could you believe it, though, when you woke up the next day and the carnage on the telly? You think, have they got 120 lead then?
When I woke up that fourth day, I was so gutted. Couldn't believe it. I woke up about 5:30, so about 2.5 hours in, and they scored about 200 runs and the game were gone. I just thought, oh my God, he was so well placed.
That was the one day I gave myself a lie-in. I thought, I'll wake up at 6:30. There's no point, you know, the few wickets will quickly go. What's the point of watching that? All the other days I've been here at 4:00. And I'm thinking, the day that I missed was when the carnage was happening. But Grace, anything to add, gentlemen? Because I think that sums it up quite nicely. And it's probably going to be a 3-0 or a 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot.
Which is exactly what we thought, isn't it? Exactly what we thought.
Well, I said 3-1 or 4-1, didn't I? Really, but yeah, I still thought Owen might get a nick of results somewhere, but yeah, that was wishful thinking.
I said 3-1.
There's going to be a lot of clamour to improve the side by bringing another player over from the Lions. There's going to be a lot of this, but I don't see how when you've got. And you're in a touring situation and you've already got 5 or 6 players on the tour who aren't being selected. England have got themselves into a real mess, I think, now. You know, you've already got Finn, you've got Duckett, you've got Balance, Batty. I don't think Dawson. None of these players have got even hoping. I suppose he could play, couldn't he? They could give Dawson his debut.
The reason why I play Dawson is someone has been saying that he's a control. It's all about control for him, and he can put it on a spot. Whether he can against India is another kettle. But I'd rather see if he can, even if, you know, he's not going to get a harder test. And if he can just put it on a sixpence, a bit of tell how accurate he is compared to the other spinners that have played.
Yeah.
If he does it, then fair enough.
I wouldn't play Wokes. Wokes has looked quite poor, to be honest, all winter. I don't think he's got to find a way of taking wickets in subcontinent. I think I'd rather play Broad than Anderson, because I think Broad looked much better in the first two tests than Anderson has since he's come back in. So I don't know. I'd be tempted to drop Jimmy, to be honest. If it looks like another turning wicket, and then use Broad and Anderson, Broad and Stokes to open the bowling, and maybe Ball. I don't know, but Ball as a third seamer, and then give Dawson a go. But the one thing I would do is not play Moeen Ali at 4. I'd do a reshuffle. I'd bring up Bairstow to 4. Maybe consider Butler at 5 and push Moeen right back down 6 or 7.
Yeah, because he's going to be putting his arm over a bit. Do you think the test series is going to, from England's point of view, is going to be looked at more that, okay, at least we've discovered Hamid, we've discovered Jennings, that kind of thing, you know, trying to take some sort of positivity from it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we went in there with massive concerns over the top 5, and I think we found two players who look like they can genuinely fill test spots in a top 5, so that has to be a positive. I mean, if I was picking my team in the series now, I think Hamid would be the opener alongside Vijay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. Anything to add, Rhodesy?
No, I think we summed it well. I hope Cook gets a double 100 so he can carry on and boost in his Asian stats. He needs a first innings century, please. That'll be
indeed
good.
But I think, sadly, I think we'll see a comfortable India win. Unless India do something crazy like make loads of, you know, give loads of second string players a go just because, you know.
I just can't see that happening, because they're just so driven. The Kohlis of the world are so driven to just reverse something, a result against England, because the last two series, they've been, I mean, he said it himself, that they've been convincingly beaten in the last two series against England. So for them, it's a nice thing that they can.
Do you remember the Ashes, though? 2 years ago, we won the Ashes, and then at the Oval, we almost gave, I think we gave two players debuts, and we've done it as well another time as well, and we got thrashed.
Yeah.
And it's like this, the English thing to do.
Who was it? We won the series. The Lancastrian spinner.
Oh, yeah, Simon Kerrigan, poor lad.
Poor lad.
He's never recovered.
The whole good people to debut in the winning team.
Well, that's the risk with Duckett, isn't it? You know, how long is it going to take Duckett to recover from this?
Have we destroyed the balances
in Bangladesh and then put him as 4 when he's been out?
Have we destroyed balance then? You know, all he's been doing, all.
No,
he's going to be in trouble with his misses, isn't he? Can't you remember
us talking about balance?
Yeah.
You know, for Yorkshire, he didn't look good enough to come back. He didn't look good enough to be in their side. He wasn't scoring a bucket load of runs. You know, he still looked technically flawed, even on the Sky game. Like the county championship game on Sky, It was just a really bad and started off as well. No, carried on from Vince, but started off a series of really poor selections.
I said this on the group. I think if there's going to be somebody under threat after this series, it's going to be James Whittaker, chairman of selectors. I think he could have some very difficult questions to answer. Yeah. The tour party now does look really bad.
I don't think it's Cook's fault in a way. I think Cook actually disagrees with a lot of the selection. And I don't think if Cook was
Cook and Bayless
in charge of everything...
players.
Exactly. I think Cook gets given the players, and I think Cook's not the sort of person to make a fuss. I think he'll toe the party line and stick with it.
I fully agree with that, he is.
Whereas I reckon if Cook actually was given a bit more, or was the sort of person to say, look, this is who I reckon you should pick and things like that, I think it might be a bit different. Because I think a captain needs to have the players he actually has faith in.
Yeah,
on the pitch.
But if Cook's playing in the county championship till July next year, he might be able to. He'll be able to see more players close up.
Because there's one thing that's absolute guaranteed truth. Bayliss doesn't see any of these players before he's given them.
He's admitted it. He's never seen me and Jennings.
I'm not blaming him at all, but we've just got to realise that that's the case. You know, people like Bayliss and Cook are given these players, but at the same time, those that they have been given, I still don't think they've picked the right balance in some of the tests.
Yeah, you could accuse them of misreading the pitches, definitely.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Gentlemen, brings us to a close. Thank you for your time. And alarm clock's on 3:45 on Friday, no doubt.
I think I might be just catching the highlights.
9 o'clock for me now.
Cheers, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Cheers, and everybody, thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.